This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Zayd Hussain is going to join us a little bit later on this hour right there from the mothership at Circa Las Vegas ahead of UFC 328. But, Jensen, what a pleasure to welcome back to the program Dexter Henry. And, boy, am I envious of a guy who gets to talk sports in New York City every day, sports anchor for the New York Post. Give him a follow on X at DHenryTV and joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Dexter, boy, there's never a shortage, I think, of things to talk about in New York City. But right now, for the Knicks being up 2-0, and I know it's been a minute since Willis Reed and the inspirational Game 7 to come out and help win an NBA championship, are we thinking Knicks NBA title for real right now in the city that never sleeps?
Well, I can tell you this. Fans definitely here are, you know, with them being up 2-0. And I think it's the way they've looked, you know, five-game winning streak, the way they've looked on both ends of the ball, guys, that's been really encouraging. So fans are, yes, they are dreaming. Now, some of those dreams and hopes felt a little bit dashed at the end of game two with OG Anunoby going down with a hamstring injury, but some decent news yesterday. We don't know the grade of the hamstring injury, but he's listed as day-to-day. He is questionable for tonight's game three. So look, if the Knicks, who haven't looked this consistent all season long, look the way they have these past five games, yeah, they absolutely can get to the finals. Now, can they beat Oklahoma City or even, I say, San Antonio if they get there? That I'm not so sure about. But this is the Knicks team, the way they're playing. Yeah, fans have an absolute right to have hope, to believe that they can get to the NBA finals for sure.
All right. Again, as a Cleveland fan here, Dexter, I am as distraught as can be watching James Harden just, you know, do the proverbial everything down his leg in prime time. Donovan Mitchell gets 30 last night. But I said at the beginning of the series, I thought this team looked soft in round one. I was a very worried about the physicality angle going up against Detroit, who just had to go blow for blow with Orlando in their first round series. Are we dead in the water here in Cleveland? Because the Pistons execute down the stretch in game one and game two. It feels more commanding than a 2-0 series lead. Size it up in your eyes from what you've seen thus far through those first two games.
I understand why you feel that way and why it feels more commanding than a 2-0 series lead. And I think a lot of it is because of the way Detroit has dominated defensively in this series. And I think you had good reason to be concerned coming out of the Toronto series, right? A series where you thought the Cavs were going to deal with the Raptors a lot easier. I thought the Cavs should win in five in that series. Obviously, went to seven. Look, in this one against Detroit, they have been out-physical. They have been out-muscled. I think there's going to be a lot of attention. You look at last night in game two, Detroit shoots 50% from downtown. But forget that. It's the defense for me and the defense for Detroit. They have shut down, you know, they've shut down James Harden. James Harden had more turnovers than shots made in this game. So that's never good at all. But I think a lot of focus is going to get on James Harden, guys. But I think we also have to look, Donovan Mitchell has not been the most efficient. Only 2 of 9 from three last night. And then Evan Mobley in this game, where was he? He was the guy that's supposed to really help and elevate things for Cleveland. Only one board in this game. Evan Mobley has to be better, particularly on the interior against the bigs of Detroit, if this team is going to win this series. Not dead in the water for Cleveland yet, but they better show out in game three, because if they don't, this series is over, and they've got to get more physical, and they've got to answer back to physicality that we've seen from Detroit.
You know, Dexter, tonight with game three in Philadelphia, we mentioned off the top, as you mentioned, OG Anunoby, don't know about his status. We still don't know about Joel Embiid's status, and yet the Sixers have flipped to the favorite. And I saw Embiid before the series began imploring Sixer fans not to sell their tickets to Knicks fans tonight. Will this be a pseudo home game for the Knicks tonight? And how important, obviously, you go up 3-0. Nobody in the history of the league has come back from an 0-3 deficit. So it would be a death knell, you would believe, if the Knicks can take it, whether Embiid plays or not.
Yeah, well, we saw this in 2024 when the teams played in the first round. A lot of Knicks fans in the building down in Philly for games three or four. From what I've been seeing, just like looking on social media from Knicks Twitter, a lot of Knicks fans saying they're going down to Philly. They expect to be there. So I think there's going to be a good amount of Knicks fans in the building. do think that's a little bit of a shame on the Philadelphia sports fans for allowing that to happen. So I understand Joel Embiid's disappointment in that. But can the Knicks take this one, or can they win without OG Anunoby, even if Embiid plays? Yeah, I think they can. I think the Knicks absolutely can do this. I just think the Knicks are the better team. I think they're the deeper team here. Now, that depth will be tested without Anunoby, but I think what's very interesting, guys, is how the Knicks attacked the Sixers in game one, putting Embiid in space, making him defend. I like the Knicks in this spot because I think if the game gets tight late, I just trust that they have more guys that can make plays for them. So I might even like the Knicks if you're betting. I like the Knicks on the money line here. I think the Knicks are going to be motivated even if they don't have Anunoby. So it'll be interesting to see who plays, but I can see the Knicks still winning in this spot.
Captivating spread, Dexter. It's amazing. The Knicks open as 2.5-point favorites, and now you can find them as 1.5 dogs. So we'll see if that does indeed come true later tonight. A team that looked all the part in their game two blowout of the Timberwolves, that's the San Antonio Spurs. I personally played the T-Wolves in game one. I thought they had the momentum to try and steal. Not that San Antonio took them for granted, but not sure they kind of knew how to game plan for whatever Anthony Edwards was going to be able to give you. I think the cat's out of the bag. I think the secret is out. We're going to get a limited Anthony Edwards as far as minutes, and maybe that's advantage Spurs. Size up game three at the Target Center tonight as the scene shifts to Minneapolis.
Yeah, one, good play by you there with the Wolves in game one. You're right, they played off that momentum, and you know, even Ant Edwards coming off the bench gave them a bit of a spurt. But listen, the Spurs responded like they should in game two, and now that shifts us to game three. Here's what I find interesting in this game. Okay, we know if the Spurs are playing the level of defense that we saw in game two, and they specifically get that pick and roll action going with De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama, that's going to be really tough to beat with both those guys going downhill. And then also their guards defending at a high level, because we saw that in game two. But will Minnesota, and we saw this in the Denver series, will they feed off of that home crowd? Will that give them a little bit of an extra boost? I'm going to say yes. I do not think that the Spurs are able to dominate them as thoroughly as they did in game two here in game three. So maybe you want to look at that line. Maybe you want to play a little bit. Now, the line is closer than it was for game one, but I think there was so much uncertainty there with Ant Edwards there. So maybe you want to take the Timberwolves in this spot to cover, take the Timberwolves in the points. I could see the Spurs still winning a close game if this gets close, because I just think they have the better roster. But I don't think this is a bad spot for the Timberwolves to play off the energy of the crowd and keep this game close. So I like this game to be a lot closer. I think this is a major swing game in the series. Would I be stunned if the Timberwolves win with how feisty they've been throughout this playoffs? No, but we'll see how they come out from the jump in this game, and then also how the Spurs respond early in the first quarter. I think that's going to be very telling.
Enjoying our conversation with Dexter Henry from the New York Post Sports, also host of New York Got Game, straight out of Flushing, and Liberty Lately. And Dexter, we're going to have the beginning of the WNBA season tonight. And I see here, Dexter, that the Liberty are the favorites to win this year over Las Vegas at plus 220 in the betting market here. Should they be the favorites over Las Vegas? Because I'm sure that Asia Wilson and company might put a little chip on their shoulder when they see that New York is the team to beat right now, at least via the odds makers.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I actually brought this up. We did a Liberty season preview on my show, Liberty Lately, and we talked about that. And look, when you look at this Liberty roster, and they still don't have two of their players back from overseas coming yet, Leone Fibish and Raquel Carrera, this is a very deep team, very, very deep team. I think they have the most talent out of anybody in the league. But in my eyes right now, Vegas should still be the favorites. They are the defending champions. They still have the reigning MVP, and Asia Wilson still have the best player in the game. So they're going to have something to say. Now, can the Liberty win the title? Absolutely. And we'll see these odds obviously shift throughout the season, right? And I think that the Liberty will, because of some of the new pieces they have coming in, because they have Satu Sabally, because they're still going to be working some of these ladies coming in from overseas as the season gets on, I think the Liberty will get off to a pretty good start. The schedule is very favorable to start the season. However, there will be some growing pains. They also have a new head coach in Chris DeMarco coming over from the Warriors. I don't think it's going to be, you know, smooth sailing for the Liberty. There's going to be some growing pains with this. I would still pick them to win the title. I think they get things right by the time they get to late August, early September, and they start gearing up for the playoffs. I think they'll be a better team by then. But yeah, the Liberty are the favorites, I think, because of the talent. But you know, they're not overwhelming favorites, right? They're not the clear favorites here. And the Aces, I think, will have something to say. So if you like the Aces, you want to get some value on them, now's the time you could do it. Maybe the odds change in a couple of weeks as well, too. I'm going to pick the Liberty to win the title, and I think it'll be Liberty and Aces in the finals. But, yeah, I'm still, in my eyes, Vegas, still the favorites here.
All right, last one from me, Dexter. When we grew up, we had the TBS Superstation, we had WGN, so it felt like the Cubs and the Braves were just a fan base of the Americas. That may be the Indiana Fever this year with the way Caitlin Clark is going to be all over national television. Where do we put the Fever as far as a title contender? I know they did not play to expectations last year. Does Caitlin Clark and company have a fighting chance here in 2026?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best four teams, this is just me ranking right now, guys, the best four teams in the league. You know, you want to talk about the Aces, of course, defending champs. You got the Liberty. Then for me, it's the Fever and the Atlanta Dream. And the Fever, to me, you can argue that they are the most dangerous of these contenders. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of what they did last year without Caitlin Clark, right? Listen, they've got Kelsey Mitchell, who's a fantastic scorer and can play make for others. And I think the key player to watch for them is Aaliyah Boston. Right? What level up does she take in her game? She is a tremendous two-way player. She is a force inside, and she's only getting better. And if Caitlin Clark gets better, and a lot for her is going to be cutting down the turnovers, still adjusting to the physicality of the league, and she's healthy, that's the key. Oh, yeah, they're dangerous, and they're a deep team. They have one of the best coaches in the league in Stephanie White. So if you like the Fever, and then you also have to also factor in, guys, their playoff experience last year. They made a good run. The Fever can build on what they did last year. And so, yes, I do think they're a dangerous team. They're a team everybody's going to want to watch. So definitely keep your eye on the Fever. And I think some good betting value there if you want to take Indiana to win it all.
Dexter, great stuff. We did the whole segment and didn't talk the Mets. That's why it was a great segment. We're back talking Daily Diamond next right here. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Hussein is going to join the program here in the very next segment from Las Vegas with some massive bets that he has for UFC 328. Great conversation with Dexter Henry there, previewing the WNBA, of course, the Knicks and the Sixers, and the NBA writ large. Wherever you get your podcast, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, and listen on your time. But Jensen, it is a staple of the show. 2 years running now. It is time for today's edition of the Daily Diamond. You hear the organ crack of the bat and the crowd cheering, Jensen. Got some series, some continuing, some beginning. Boy, a couple that we want to spotlight here, and I guess maybe one that really does take precedent would be the Braves and the Dodgers in the National League. And if it's going to be, you know, I was kind of kidding yesterday, hey, might we see us, you know, see you soon here from Tombstone, and, you know, you got a fight coming. I wonder if that fight, we see it again in September, October, potentially here between these two teams, because right now, it does feel like the Braves and the Dodgers could be the class in the National League.
They are right now, at least record-wise, and the Chicago Cubs up there as well. But a little changing dynamic, and is it a National League Championship Series preview? Well, I know other teams are going to have a lot to say about that moving forward. As is, the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers not at full strength, missing two key pieces each offensively. No Ronald Acuna Jr. there at the top of the lineup for Atlanta. No Mookie Betts. Still recovering from injury for the Dodgers. I would say in this series, Dave, if you're looking to bet a series price, it is a decided advantage in favor of the Atlanta Braves as far as the pitching probables. It'll be Chris Sale tonight against Emmett Sheehan, Spencer Strider tomorrow against Roky Sasaki, and then Bryce Elder against Justin Wroblewski in the finale on Sunday. As you look at where we are, the Atlanta Braves 8 games clear of, let me say this out loud, the second place Washington Nationals the National League East. Okay, 8 games clear. Hey, listen, it's a great cushion. Atlanta's going to get tested without Ronald Acuña Jr. here for the next several weeks. But I'm also intrigued to see what a Dodger offense looks like against probably one of the more complete pitching staffs thus far in the National League. So strength on strength, going to be a great series, and excited to see that one out west. A couple other ones to make note of. It got underway yesterday, Dave, 1-4 between the Rays and the Red Sox. I mentioned how hot the Cubs have been. The Tampa Bay Rays have been absolutely rolling, and a little breakdown of their record. Dave, they're 20-2 against all opponents that do not reside in the National League Central. They are 5 games under 500. For whatever reason, their Achilles heel this year has been playing the National League Central. They're 5-10 against NL Central foes, 20-2 against everyone else. So they have handled their business. They have been, if we were not looking at the Yankees start to this year, we would be talking about the Rays. Speaking of also changes, how about the Phillies under Don Mattingly? They get pasted by the Athletics yesterday, but great job. I think you and I were both on the A's yesterday in an underdog spot there. So we get the Athletics home on the money line there. Philly has looked a lot better, averaging nearly 5 runs a game under Donnie Baseball. They have won 8 of their last 10. They welcome in the Colorado Rockies. I know, sore spot for you, Rockies taking it to the Mets there yesterday in the series finale. But that'll be an interesting one as well. And let me highlight for player prop purposes. Here in Northeast Ohio, Chase DeLauder was unbelievable in his start to his rookie campaign for the Cleveland Guardians in the month of April. He has caught fire again here as the Guardians will welcome in the Minnesota Twins to start a 3-game series tonight. DeLauder on an 11-game hit streak here, Dave. That's a .478 average, 5 doubles, a homer, and 7 runs batted in. If you're looking for player props tonight, I would say you could target Chase DeLauder in a matchup that is going to be pretty favorable. Connor Prelip is going to get the start here for Minnesota. Parker Messick on the other side here for Cleveland. As far as the board stands right now, nothing really popping to me, Dave, but I'll throw it back to you with an idea. Are you a guy that, and I'll take the Cubs and the Rangers game because the Cubs have won 9 in a row and absolutely just dismantled the Cincinnati Reds. Are you a guy that just will blindly just bet a team the way they're going with how hot they are, regardless of pitching matchup? And I'll use the Cubs as an example, or is there another caveat for you when you're looking at teams that are trending as hot as, let's say, the North Siders are right now?
Yeah, it's that old, old school, right? We're going streaking, and it feels like that's exactly what the Cubs are doing right now, and I hate to get in front of that train sometimes when they're going. I mean, look, some of those games against the Reds in that series, how did they win them? I mean, they're pulling victory out of the jaws of defeat in ninth innings in these late inning comebacks, and if you're the Reds, you got to be going, how do we beat these guys? And I'm sure that's what the Rangers have to be thinking about after their series with the Yankees. They do win one of that series, but they got beaten up pretty good there too. So I don't know that I'd want to get in the way of the Cubs right now. I will say this, a series that I'm going to keep my eye on, it is those red-hot Yankees against Milwaukee. And the reason why I'm intrigued by that series here, Jensen, when I look at run differential, which is a tool that I like to use a lot to really measure what I think are the better teams versus maybe some records that are fugazi, and you look at the Dodgers and the Braves, and you can understand that for the big boys in run differential here as we get ready for that massive series, 1-2 right now in the National League. The Cubs are third, but the Brewers are fourth. So even though it's not necessarily showing up in the record, 3 games over 500, the Brewers, even depleted Milwaukee, still might even be better than what they've shown so far at the beginning of the year. So while the Yankees should be the talk of the American League, and they do feel like the class, clearly, of the American League, I am starting to take note of the Brewers a little bit. And again, litmus test, it's May. How much does it really matter? I still think when you have the Yankees coming to town, it does mean a little bit more. So I'll be interested to see with the Brew Crew how they can fare over the weekend here, Jensen. 15-1 right now to win the pennant. I don't know that I like that play. We talked about it earlier in the program. We kind of like the Padres better at 20-1. But I do put the Padres and the Brewers in that same category of if we're going right underneath the next tier of, say, Cub, Dodger, and Brave, I might be looking right to the Brew Crew and right to the Padres out there in San Diego as the next teams that I'm really looking at, bigger picture, and I'll be curious to see how the Brewers stack up here with the Yankees this weekend. One other series I wanted to get your thoughts on here, it's the Tigers and the Royals. We talk about two depleted teams right now with the Guardians currently in first place in this division. So the Royals might be down right now, two of their stud starters, potentially. We know about Skubal here. How important is a series like this here, Jensen, going forward for two teams that have taken on some water here with the injury front?
Yeah, it absolutely important, considering also, let's just take Kansas City getting blown out in their series finale against the Guardians yesterday. They got some bad news there on Carlos Estevez, a setback there in his rehab, albeit they've weathered the injury storm decently. Now, we'll wait and see what a timeline for return will be for Cole Reagans, who had to leave his start early. But you're getting a guy on the hill tonight who has been statistically their best starter, and that's Chris Bubich. I actually do like where the matchup is in this series opener tonight with the Royals. Right now, I'm seeing a money line price for Kansas City around $1.49. Cater Montero, who has been equal to the task in being inserted into the Tiger rotation with all the injuries they've had, Derek Skubal, Casey Mize, Justin Verlander, he's actually been pretty good. If I'm leaning a certain way, it would be to the Kansas City Royals. I don't have a great feel on the total there because it's been kind of wonky with these two offenses. There's been nights where Kansas City has come out swinging. Yesterday, they left a small village on the base paths, multiple opportunities to get to Slade Ciccone, could not cash in with runners in scoring position. So, Dave, no real good feel with either offense, at least in this matchup with the total. But as far as the pitching matchup goes, I would look towards the Royals side the way that Bubich has been. And I think that is a great starting point. If Kansas City can kind of get back on the right side here, remember, you look at this division, they beginning play today, only 3.5 games separate first place with the Guardians and last place with the Minnesota Twins at 3.5 games behind. So critical series for Kansas City. They're 2.5 back at Cleveland. Tigers are 1.5 back. And Cleveland is the only team over 500 at 20-19 in the American League Central.
You know, I don't like to bet these markets, but I mentioned it earlier this week. If you're really looking for a long shot for Cy Young, Chris Bubich is 80-1. You could do worse tickets than that. I really like his makeup as well. Very quickly, for the Metropolitans, disappointing end to the series last night in Colorado. They give up a slam late and they lose 6-2. Now Nolan McLean, that stopper, is back in the bump in Arizona, who's scuffling a little bit after losing 2-3 to Pittsburgh. Feels kind of important for both these teams, but obviously for New York, when you got McLean on the bump, can you back him at $1.36 here on the road?
Maybe a first five, Dave, but that would be all I would want. I actually kind of like the Diamondbacks. Sneaky little home dog spot right here. Might be a perfect Jensen storm. First five money line for McLean and the boys, maybe. But a full game, I think I like the snakes in the desert.
Yeah, the bullpen's been a disaster right now for the Metropolitans. That has been for sure. When we come back, oh my goodness, I'm excited. To catch up with our guy, Zayd Hussain, is out there in Las Vegas. Going to make a six-digit bet at UFC 328. We'll break it down next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And boy, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We had Zayd Hussain on earlier this week on First Strike with me and Rob Moreno. So shout out wherever you get your podcast. Please like, subscribe to First Strike. And he's kind enough to join us now. Flew all the way out there to Las Vegas, even though the fights are in Newark. So when Zayd Hussain joins the program, again, he is the host of the No Skips, Scripts podcast. Give him a follow on X at Zayd_Hussain. I know, Zayd, you're going out there for one reason and one reason only. We are shopping for the best price you can get down on a big ticket here. And I know that you like Khamzat Chimaev in the main event here for that middleweight strap against Sean Strickland here. Can you tell the people a little bit about that exercise? Because we preach it on the network all the time about shopping for the best price. and don't leave money on the table. Tell the people about that exercise out there in Las Vegas.
Well, I think it's crucial for anyone watching the show. I mean, you have to shop for your best lines all day. So if one spot has 200 and you could go get a spot that's 185 or 180, you always got to take advantage of it. Long term, you're going to save so much money and make a ton of money. So I think it's crucial, obviously, to line shop. We have all these competitive books. Use them to your advantage. They're all trying to get your business. So if you could find a better line, always take advantage and take care of that.
Zayd, we always preach to our listeners, whatever your bankroll is, whatever your units are, it is to your discretion and it is to your comfort. So I'm always intrigued, and I think it's captivating when you get to a six-figure wager, and for the few that are able to get there, what is the process where you start to see things line up and it crystallizes in your mind like, oh, this is not just a big bet. This is a behemoth. Because of either angles, price, what have you, kind of pull the curtain back a little bit of your thought process of how you eventually got to this mammoth play.
Yeah, I think when you look at breaking down bets and implied probabilities on these lines. So, for example, right now we have Hamzat Chimaev versus Sean Strickland in the main event. We have an implied win probability of about 65% when you have Chimaev inside the distance at 185. I truly believe this should be closer to 90% implied win probability, which would be closer to minus 900. So, I mean, if you're getting something at a price tag of 185 and you think it's, you know, closer to a $9 favorite, I think you have to unload everything you have into that play. Obviously, you know, bankroll management's always key, but if you see plays like these that come around maybe once every year, year and a half, you have to take advantage and you have to unload. And I think it's all about, you know, using your brain, using your head and putting together your percentages based on the odds. So, you know, something's minus 200, it's 66% implied probability. What do you think the line should truly be? And basing your decision off of that. And that's what I've done with this, you know, main event spot with Hamzat Chimaev. I think this is completely mispriced, and it's going to be a big, big win this weekend. I'm already celebrating. That's how confident I am.
I absolutely love it, Zayd. So you don't have to tell the people the figure. It's totally up to you. But we do know that it's one of your biggest bets. Is it your, in fact, biggest bet that you've made in UFC betting?
It's not. It's my second. And, we have over 100 grand on Chimaev inside the distance. I think this is the spot of the year when looking at what this matchup represents and what it brings. And talk about a heated press conference, Dave. I mean, these guys do not like each other. And this is a spot where Chimaev is going to just absolutely roll. I mean, you want to talk about someone with a wrestling advantage here in this spot. We talked about it in the past with Dricus du Plessis and Hamza. I came on the show and I told you guys Hamza would absolutely destroy du Plessis. And you look at what du Plessis did to Sean Strickland in the past. I mean, it's night and day, the level of wrestling that Hamza Chimaev has compared to his opponents. And I think we saw with the Abus Magomedov fight, we saw with the Kamaru Usman fight, we saw with the Dricus du Plessis fight, all of these guys have had major success wrestling Sean Strickland. And I think this is going to look really, really bad for Strickland. I think he's going to get mauled. I think he's going to get embarrassed. And I don't see this lasting more than two rounds, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. This is going to be, I'm sweating for you, and I'm going to be on a plane to Gainesville to do some college baseball, and I can't wait for the recap. Should this go exactly the way that you think it will, Zayd? Let me ask you subliminally, you know, when you say that they don't like each other, is there any other spot you do like on this main card for people that not only want to tail where you're at, but also any other angles that really look advantageous on the main card tomorrow night?
Yeah, I talked with Dave on the First Strike pod that we had the other day about the co-main event. I think it's a great spot for Tatsuro Taira. He's a guy that's coming in. Japan's looking to have their first champion, and I think he's really, really big for the weight class, and he displays elite wrestling. I mean, this is a guy that is one of the best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler in that division. We saw what he did to former champions, and I think Joshua Van was extremely, extremely lucky. I know we called him a paper champ on the First Strike pod, Dave, but I think this is a spot where Van is going to have a tough, tough time defending takedowns, and I think Tyra's going to be all over him with the wrestling, and I think he should win this fight. I have it closer to about a $225 price tag, so if he could get about $1.60, $1.55 where it's at right now, I think Tyra's a great bet.
you and I totally align on the co-main event here. And again, championship rounds here, if we can get there, you're seeing that total sitting at 3.5. I know that you like the under in Khamzat, that you think you can get that job done inside of potentially 10 minutes there in Newark. What about in the co-main? Do you think Tyra can finish on the ground? Because he looks to me, Zayd, when he gets guys down to the ground, he doesn't look to hold. He looks to finish if he can get you down there.
Yeah, and I think he has, you know, he looks to hook in the legs right away. He's a guy that takes someone down and is not really in guard. He's, you know, using his legs. He's hooking legs in. He's taking the back. And he's flattening people out and finishing them from back mount. And just every single position that he's in, he's looking to advance more and more. I think this guy has elite jiu-jitsu, elite wrestling, and he could put it all together and get Van out of there. We saw Van and Pantoja fight, and obviously it was a fluke injury and unfortunate what happened, but I don't think we really got to see what Pantoja would have done to Van had that fight gone longer. And I think there's a lot of holes in his game, man, and I think Tatsuro Taira is set up to be the first Japanese champion in UFC history.
Great angle. And another angle that I love, Zayd, I always ask our great friend of the program, Lou Finicaro, this. It's kind of my fun little pizza money way to get a little different on some of these plays. Method of victory is always one I look at. Obviously, you're going to be heavily invested in that big one. Is there another spot, maybe method of victory-wise, that you would recommend? Maybe it's not like a slam dunk spot, but maybe for the value, might be something to attack here on the main card.
Something fun for some pizza money, I think, is you got two UFC legends and Jeremy Stephens fighting. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Stephens right now is currently at plus 500 against Bobby King Green. Both guys, legends of the sport. I think Stephens still has a ton of power in his hands. We saw him, you know, move to a couple different spots. I think he's done bare knuckle and a few other promotions. I think he still possesses power. And, you know, they say power is the last thing to go with age. Getting Jeremy Stephens at plus 500 by KO against a guy in Bobby Green who's shown, you know, to have a suspect chin, I like taking a flyer on that. I think that's something you could sprinkle a little bit of pizza money on and hope for a big payday.
Yeah, that could be interesting if we can see the little heathen. I can't. It's like, what year is this, that we're seeing the little heathen on a main card here against Bobby King Green? To that end, you've got some other legends here in the prelims. Jim Miller is going to make the walk here, big underdog against Jared Gordon here. Grant Dawson, another wrestler, is going to be out there against Rebecca. Solid favorite there. I'm also looking at the Roman Kopilov fight against Tulio here, and he's a dog in that fight. Is there anything else on the prelims that might excite you a little bit before we get to that main card?
I don't know if it's the main card. I'm pretty sure it's prelims. Yaroslav Amosov versus Joel Alvarez. Yes. Big, big fight, man. I think this is one of the most underrated fights here in this card. People really don't know who Yaroslav Amosov is because he was a former Bellator guy and he was running through everybody in Bellator. This guy has elite wrestling, man. I'm telling you guys. And he's priced at $1.85 favorite for a reason. But when you look at what Amosov's done in his career, I mean, it's absolutely just spectacular. And Joel Alvarez is a guy, make no mistake about it, who is a legit UFC guy. I think he's legit top 15 talent. And honestly, Dave, I think this matchup is just tailor-made for Amosov because his grappling is so strong. And we've saw Alvarez struggle with defending takedowns. I mean, we saw Armand come in and absolutely smash him on the ground. Amosov is legit on the ground. He has legit submissions. He has legit ground and pound. And I think this is a spot where you could bet him up to a $2 betting favorite.
All right, Zayd, last one from me. I remember when I cashed my first $100,000 check as part of my signing bonus in 2005. I know what I wanted to buy right away. What will you buy when you cash this big ticket? What's the first thing Zayd Hussein gets?
Honestly, man, it's for me, it's going to sound, you know, pretty cliche to say, but like, I don't want anything material. I like to help as much as I can. So, you know, honestly, donating to charities, helping out with our, you know, local scene in Chicago, being able to give back is my most important thing. So I do this for, honestly, just the love of the game and the fun. We're here at 6:30 in the morning local time here in Vegas. I'm giving you guys winners. And honestly, for everyone watching right now, I think this is the spot of the year for Khamzat Chimaev to win inside the distance. So let's all take advantage of it and make some money.
Zayd, you are the man. Appreciate you getting up. Really loved having you on First Strike, as always. Everybody that's been watching the show for years, we love having you on. So best of luck. I can't wait to see how everything shakes out, and I'm sure we'll be in contact soon, my man. There he is.
Submission.
Zayd Hussein, give him a follow.
Submission.
Zayd _ Hussein. Get that sub. I'm Khamzat Chimaev. We're back with our best bets next.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. The smarter bets start right here. They're going to last all year long with a VSiN Pro subscription. There is a limited time offer, and it's a really good offer. You can get our annual subscription, which is normally $240, for just $199. And when you sign up today, we're going to throw in an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with the promo code PRO, P-R-O. You're going to get daily access to all of our guest hosts and picks. You can have real-time DraftKings and circuit betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, match analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays on your time on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our special edition betting guides, which will cover you all through every single major sport, which includes college and the NFL season. It's right around the corner here, people. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Zayd Hussain, who's got triple digits out there in the main event here for Khamzat Chimaev at UFC 328 against Sean Strickland. You asked him what he would buy with his $100,000 ticket once it cashes. And I loved his response. One, he's going to give it to charity, which made me think of Three Amigos. If you remember that, what are you going to do with all that money? I'm going to buy a big shiny car, drive it all over town. Then they ask Martin Short's character, says, I'm going to start a foundation for homeless children. Yeah, I'd buy the car after that. It's like we all think of the frivolous things we want to do with the money, not the philanthropy things that Zayd Hussain wants to do with it. Jensen, what did you do with your signing bonus when you got that big paycheck to go to the majors?
So it's a great story. And here's the part about our business, Dave, on the professional athlete side. All of our earnings are public, okay? So everyone knows, you know, once you get drafted, you sign, you know, it is what it is. Okay, so for any normal person, if you will, out there, when you get onboarded to a new company, sometimes they tell you that first check that you get is live, you know, so you got to go deposit it yourself and then you're onboarded into the direct deposit. Okay, so I signed back in 2005 for $375,000, and they break up your signing bonus into two checks. The first one is the smaller portion. The second in the direct deposit is the larger portion. So I'm walking, Dave, I got it in the mail. Okay, so you're hawking the mailbox because I already know math-wise what's coming. And so I get it, I open it, you know, you take a moment and you sit there and you're like, it's the most amount of money I've ever seen in my life, you know, and it's just, oh, by the way, they remind you the check is live. Okay. So I'm walking, I want to say it's like 142,000 was the live check. Okay. So I'm going to the local PNC at that time and going to deposit it. So, you know, you go to the teller, you know, I've signed the back and she, what? Yeah, that's me. I have my ID. Yeah, I kind of knew that maybe I was going to have to get, you know, a bank manager or something. Wow. So, of course, she goes and gets the bank manager. I got to go back into the office. They confirm everything, so on and so forth. But the sweat of walking in, you know, and like, I got this, this amount of money, and I just want to make sure everything's right. I want to deposit it. Okay, so what did I want to do? Well, back in those days, that's right when the flat screen TVs were really starting to make it big. And so for my new apartment, that's where I wanted to kind of, you know, get it all set up. And, you know, you get the big 55-inch TV. I already had the car that I needed, so it wasn't a car. And then, of course, taking the family out to a nice steak dinner, thanking mom and dad, my brother, for everything they'd done. So it's just that you remember those little moments of, amazing. I can't believe that this is what I'm getting paid to do this job. I don't even call it a job. You're playing a kid's game for money, for God's sake. That was the first time. And then my first big league paycheck, Dave, when I got called up the day after the All-Star break. So you get paid 15th and 30th in the month. And when I was getting ready to go on the road, when I got that first direct deposit of my first 2 weeks in the big leagues, it was more in 2 weeks than I made in minor league salary for my first year and a half, 2 years. It's just, it was mind-boggling stuff. So I figured I would ask Zaid, because I'm sure it's not the first time he's gone this heavy on a bet. But really cool to hear that he's going to give back. And now my fingers are crossed even more for him, because it's for a good cause. So good luck to Zaid. Good luck to everyone tailing. And I know you'll have some big UFC plays as well.
I will. By the way, you did do some philanthropy. I love the fact that you took out the family for dinner. I think that's really, really cool to show them that you've made a big time. I absolutely love that. And the flat screen, Jensen, that's pretty smart, right? You didn't go crazy with some big shiny cars I was kidding about here from Three Amigos, right? You didn't go nuts and drive something off the lot day one. So I think you did a pretty good job of being responsible and money well earned by you, my man. I do have some plays that I have here for UFC 328 that I do want to give out. And Zaid and I do concur. And I've talked to Lou Finicaro. We'll have Lou back on in the program next week, of course. Normally have Lou on each and every week as well. I had to take a week off, but we're all in alignment here for the House of the Rising Sun. Really do like Tetsuro Taira. Got him at $1.55 here. And the numbers fluctuate a little bit here. So I still think it's a pretty good value on Taira. And I'm with Zaid. I think he should be up to a $2 betting favorite here. I know he's the underdog as far as the champion status goes with Joshua Van. I think it's a new champion waiting here with Tetsuro Taira, was laying away that price point. Waldo Cortez Acosta here against Alexander Volkov. Big heavyweights here. I like Volkov a lot. I've bet him a lot in his history, but he is getting older. I think youth is going to be served here. And again, my only worry is, I mentioned it on First Strike, just don't throw your neck in there in the clinch, because I do think Volkov can be tricky with submissions from the top. Outside of that, I think Cortez Acosta wins the hands game. Salsa Boy has never been knocked down as a heavyweight. So Jensen at plus money, when all the numbers kind of look equal, I'll take that shot every time with Cortez Acosta plus $1.35. I really like the way Roman Kapovol fights here. I'm a little bit surprised you can get him at a big dog here. I know he looks young inside the octagon, still growing every time out there. I really like his opportunity this weekend as a big dog price at plus $1.60 on prelim card. And look, I'm going to be a little bit nervy like you are for Zaid a little bit. I do like the over, and I've been talking to Jordan Sherwood and Lou. They've asked me about that main event, and I keep saying, I don't know that I love the side. Yes, Khamzat should be a big favorite here, but Jensen, I've seen Sean Strickland with my own eyes destroy Israel Adesanya in Australia when Izzy didn't know what to do in the hands game, when Fluffy Hernandez could not get the takedown on Sean Strickland. He was fish out of water, and Sean was big underdogs in those. He's a 5-1 betting underdog that night he beat Israel Adesanya. He was a big underdog, 2-1 betting underdog against Fluffy Hernandez. He's been in this role a lot before. Look, Chimaev goes out there and gets the takedown and takes him down, submits him inside the first 10 minutes. I'll tip the cap to him. I think Sean's going to be tougher to control than Chimaev might believe. That's why I played the over at plus $1.20. I do think we're getting into the championship rounds here in Newark. I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park, Kazansky. I'd actually be surprised if Chimaev destroys him in that very first round or inside of two. I think Sean might be a tougher out. Now, look, if Sean fights emotionally, which he has done before in the past, that's where trouble comes from the Strickland side. If he fights smart, I think we go deep into the championship round. Still favors Chimaev overall, but I think we're in set for something really special tomorrow night here, Saturday night in Newark, New Jersey, and I think that might be championship rounds here for Sean Strickland and Khamzat Chimaev. The slate in Major League Baseball here, Jensen, anything that you've gotten to the window on yet? Because I know some plays you've been looking at, but maybe haven't pulled the trigger on yet.
Yeah, just one right now. I'm going to go to the over on the south side of Chicago, over 7.5, which is an alternate total right now. That's Mariners and White Sox tonight. The pitching matchup is actually a really good one on paper. Emerson Hancock for Seattle, Sean Burke there for the White Sox. A couple of numbers that really stuck out to me. Seattle is actually averaging over 4.5 runs of support in Emerson Hancock's starts. Sean Burke getting almost 4.5 runs of support from the White Sox offense. So you do the quick math there. That's 9 runs if the average holds. So that's clearly over our 7.5. I know there's some eights out there, but I wanted to buy down just a little bit in case those guys are actually on their game tonight. So, the White Sox are 19-14 to the over in non-divisional games, Dave. So this will be an AL West versus an AL Central. Probably adding more plays as we go today. Do want to see a couple of the lineups that are going to come out against various starters today. but the Mariners White Sox over 7.5 lone baseball play in pocket so far.
I absolutely love those plays. Again, a big game three tonight going to be in Philadelphia, and great conversations throughout the show with Dexter Henry. Go back, like, subscribe on your time as well. Any play there? You don't wait and see what Joel Embiid does if he decides if he can play an OG Anunoby on the other side for the Knicks.
Yeah, I'll wait. Boy, we got a good weekend ahead of us, though, man. A lot of moving parts here in these NBA and NHL playoff series for sure.
And give us a follow on Twitter. We'll try to get those picks out there for the golf as well as the weather forecast permits here for the second round of the Truist. By the way, if you want more VSiN, of course you do. You've been watching them FanDuel Sports Network. Just go to the VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. They are up next.